Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday, the 15th of May. In women at increased risk for breast cancer, adding a screening ultrasound examination to routine mammography revealed 28% more cancers than a mammography alone. But the additional ultrasound exam substantially increased the rates of false positive findings and unnecessary biopsies. This is according to an American College of Radiation Imaging Network study that was published yesterday in the Journal of American Medical Association. The study enrolled 2,809 women at increased risk for breast cancer at 21 sites, and 2,637 of these women were eligible for analysis. The criteria used to determine an increased breast cancer risk included a participant age of 25 years or older, dense breasts, prior atypical breast biopsy, personal and/or moderate family history of breast cancer. We're going to be talking about this, which is probably a finding that is somewhat confusing to women. We'll have three guests with us during the course of this hour. Dr. Ellen Mendelson is professor and director of the Section of Breast Imaging Radiology at Northwestern University. Later this hour, Dr. Pamela Galloway will join us, founder of the Breast Center of Central Wisconsin. And also joining us will be June Peters, who is a cancer coach at the cancer team Bellin Healthcare in Green Bay, Wisconsin. We'll be welcoming phone calls. So many women deal with this issue that I would imagine many of you will have questions. Feel free to call us at 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050, 414-227-2050, or you can feel free to send an email, and that's talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. And we start with Dr. Ellen Mendelson, professor and director of the Section of Breast Imaging Radiology at Northwestern University. Dr. Mendelson, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you, and good morning.
Good morning. I would think that the results of this leave women somewhat confused.
Well, I hope they won't be confused. I hope that they will realize after reading many reports that there are options, not options so much as supplements to screening mammography that are useful for some women. And I think that's the message we want to bring to everyone. Not everyone will benefit. Not every woman would benefit from the addition of ultrasound. And our study really was focused on women whose risk of breast cancer was higher than the average woman of the same age and whose breast tissue was dense. And dense breast tissue, I think, is one of the things that's confusing. And I can try to explain it a little bit.
Yes, okay.
Dense breast tissue is really a mammographic finding. When we look at mammograms, dense breast tissue looks white. The other normal component tissue of every woman's breasts, whether they're fat or thin or just average build, is fat. So fat and the white tissue, which is glandular or fibroglandular, are the two components. Women whose breast tissue is fatty or dark on a mammogram really will not benefit much from adding ultrasound. But women who have dense breast tissue or a lot of white glandular tissue on their breasts, in their breasts, will benefit if their risk is high. And those were the results of our study. The reason that dense breast tissue can pose problems for mammography and the sensitivity of mammography itself goes down a little bit is that cancer, when it's a mass or a lump, looks white. And against the background of white tissue that we see, it's hard to pick out the area of abnormality because it's white on white. There are paintings that are white on white. It's a contrast problem. If it's a white starburst, for example, which is what some cancers look like, set in a background of dark tissue, then you can see it easily, and the sensitivity of mammography is very high. So what we've noticed over the years, and I'll talk a little bit about MRI as well, is that for some women, there is benefit to trying other ways to see through that breast tissue. And for this group of women, the 2809 women who entered our study, the dense breast tissue outweighed the fatty tissue, and they had higher risk, so we expected to find cancers at a higher rate than we would in the average population whom we screen. And we recommend in the United States screening mammography for every woman 40 and over on an annual basis. And we have for mammography, it's the only study that we have, this proven benefit of mortality reduction for. We don't have that yet, and we may not be able to get that through trials of ultrasound, but we have other measures of its efficacy. And the first-year results of the study that were just reported yesterday in JAMA, the Journal of the American Medical Association, suggests that we can look for some benefit in adding ultrasound to mammography in women whose breast tissue is dense and whose risk of breast cancer is higher than the average women.
Two questions come to mind. How many women do have this dense breast tissue, and what are the other risk factors?
The other risk factors, I think that you summarized just a few minutes ago the risk factors that we used for entrance into the study, and those are risk factors. Probably the largest risk factor for every woman of breast cancer is growing older, so it's age-related. And, excuse me, it's age-related, and it is the fact that of the population is of women. So being a woman and aging are huge risk factors. With the addition of the special risk factors that you elaborated just previously.
Mm-hmm. Family history, et cetera.
Family history, but there again, the highest risk comes from family history of a first-degree relative. A first-degree relative is a mother, mm-hmm. a sister, or a daughter. It is not a grandmother. Mm. It's not an aunt. Mm-hmm. So all of that background helps, but the highest risk is associated with first-degree relatives.
Mm-hmm. And you were able to find, if you add this ultrasound examination, a number of smaller cancers. Is that right? But they could
yes.
be very dangerous.
Well, we never know the danger level of a cancer when we find it. It's only looking ahead and looking back. We do know that the smaller size and the lack of spread to the lymph nodes up under the arm is helpful in establishing that early detection and a good prognosis in terms of treatment. But some cancers are dangerous ones, as you said, and no matter what you do, they'll progress. The best results really do come, though, from early detection, and there are some cancers for which early detection doesn't matter or matters less. Here, it does matter.
Mm-hmm. And how do you lessen the number of, you find these detections of perhaps smaller cancers, biopsies are done. The problematic area is that so many of the biopsies turn out negative, so you cause people unnecessary worry, right?
It's more than unnecessary worry. They're unnecessary. You can regard them as unnecessary procedures, and there's cost, and they are minimally invasive, and actually, probably the benefits of early detection and finding those cancers when they're small may outweigh the risk of false positives. And it depends on a woman's philosophy. It's not just worry alone. There are other considerations here. But we should say that what was reported in the journal yesterday were the results of just the first of 3 years in which we followed up these women and they had a second and third opportunity to have mammography and ultrasound as part of the study.
Mm-hmm.
And there, I think that what we will see is that the number of false positives where biopsy was recommended on the basis of what we thought was most suspicious, whether it be on the mammogram or on the ultrasound study, it would dominate in terms of how we would what we would recommend for that patient. That once you have a set of sonograms to compare with, as you would find in the second and third year, that if you see the same thing and it hasn't changed, you would be less likely to recommend a biopsy for that.
I see.
So the first year was a what we call a prevalence screen. No one had really looked before with ultrasound at the breast tissue of those women in that way for most of the women who were participating. In years two and three, we will have the first year to compare with, and those data have not been analyzed yet. So we see benefit now, and we also see quite a lot of false positives, which has to do with sensitivity. Sensitivity means that your detection will include false positives as well as true positives or cancers. And the specificity, which is the other way we look at the accuracy and the efficacy of what we're doing, will probably improve in years two to three.
Mm-hmm. And tell me again, please, how the ultrasound works and how it's able to pick up these small cancers.
Sure. I explained what density is as far as mammograms are concerned, and that the problem with density and detection of cancers is that a cancer looks white, and on a mammogram, that tissue looks white. Ultrasound is a different type of imaging technique where rather than using radiation, which is minimal, I should say, in mammography, and the benefits far outweigh any minuscule risk of causing cancer with a mammogram, particularly when we consider that over time women will have many mammograms. It's an annual study. Ultrasound beams sound waves into tissue. They return with a transducer, which is applied to the skin. Many women have already had it and are familiar with it. Many women have had it for obstetrical reasons before they've had babies. It's the same technique, but just applied at high resolution to breast tissue. There's no radiation. The sound waves enter tissue, and they return at different rates to the transducer, and the computer in the system will translate the different speeds into an image that you can interpret. And what you see is that the breast tissue looks white. The dense tissue that you see on a mammogram also looks white or light-colored gray on a sonogram. But a cancer, a little mass, which could be quite small, we may detect because the contrast is there. Now, on a sonogram, that area will look dark. So there's not a contrast problem with ultrasound. And the spatial resolution of what we're using now for ultrasound is high enough for us to see small cancers less than 10 millimeters or even 5.
Mm-hmm.
So there's high resolution, and the contrast problem is taken care of. So which is why we consider it a supplemental technique rather than a primary technique to replace mammography.
Mm-hmm.
The other reason we can't replace mammography with ultrasound is that at the current time, there are several reasons here, but the most important one of which, there are two, is that the window that we use for ultrasound right now is quite small. It's about 2 inches square, and it's a very thin section of breast tissue. So if I compare it to, say, constructing a mosaic pattern, you have little windows that you are piecing together to make a whole picture. Mammography will show you the whole breast on its image. And there we see the whole organ. MRI will also show it to you as well. But ultrasound now, we have to piece together with these small windows. And it's difficult sometimes, and then you can understand how it would be easy to miss an area.
Mm-hmm.
Very easy. But there are things in the works that may address those problems. There's a second reason that why you can't substitute ultrasound for mammography, which is that there are some cancers which don't form masses or lumps, and we're talking now about masses that are you can't feel. Mammography and ultrasound can show you those. But some cancers don't form masses at all. Some of them are early, and the most common kind of cancer starts in the ducts, the milk ducts, and everybody has them. They're largest near the nipple, and they get smaller as they radiate back. But one way that we can see cancer starting and limited to being in the ducts, it's called in situ breast cancer, which means in situ means it hasn't crossed over the duct wall into the tissue around it. It's still, and it would be considered stage zero cancer, is through calcifications. Calcifications everybody has, and it's not related to what you eat or to any other type of thing that you can control. They form in tissue that's disturbed, and if the inside of the duct is disturbed, calcifications may form there. They can form for benign reasons too, not cancerous. Most calcifications in most women's breasts are benign. They're not cancerous, and most women have some calcifications. It's just what you find.
Mm-hmm.
But in the duct sometimes you will see a grouping of calcifications that has a disorganized pattern, or they look sort of Morse code-ish dot dash. Those you would want to investigate further. Those are very hard to recognize if you can see them at all on sonograms.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of cancer would be eliminated probably from what we would detect, and it's important that we detect it.
And you would treat it through biopsy if discovered?
Calcifications?
Yes.
You can do stereotactically guided core biopsy on them. Sometimes the calcifications that are suspicious looking are embedded in masses or lumps, and we can there use ultrasound as the imaging guide. But all of these types of findings on mammography, on ultrasound, and on MRI don't need to be biopsied surgically. They can be biopsied using imaging guidance with needle biopsies.
I see. So at this point, as a result of the study, Dr. Mendelson, do you have recommendations of the group of women who should do mammography and also ultrasound?
I can make some suggestions. Yes, I can. A risk factor should be, for that particular woman, should be analyzed through her physician. And if the risk is not of the highest risk of breast cancer we've found in women who have the genetic abnormalities, there are two breast cancer genes and probably more that we know about. They are BC breast cancer 1 and 2, and they're associated with uterine cancer and with ovarian in some women as well. But if there is a genetic pattern that suggests that, genetic testing may be something that those women may wish to undergo. But a risk analysis should be worked out with that woman's physician and before we recommend any supplemental screening. So that's number one. If the risk is of the highest, and there the American Cancer Society recently changed its recommendations from mammography alone to add probably what is the most sensitive study for detection of cancer, which is magnetic resonance imaging, MRI, those women should have mammography plus MRI. If the risk is not quite as high, And there are various ways of determining risk. There are a number of risk models which give you an approximation of risk. If the risk is not that high, but it's still higher than that of the average woman, and there has been a determination that that woman's breasts are greater than 50% dense breast tissue on a mammogram, there may be a recommendation there to add screening ultrasound, which would be of both breasts, in addition to the annual mammogram. Intermediate to high risk plus dense breast tissue would be the recommendation based on our first year data that were published yesterday. There is a problem for women in that the access to screening ultrasound may not be there in terms of people trained to do it. The investigators in our study were highly qualified in that we had a training course and tests were given. There were sessions, scanning sessions, to train people to do a study that was more or less standardized. And the results that we obtained were from these highly qualified radiologists who participated. And there were many participants throughout the U.S. and in Canada also. But whether this is available in one's own community is something that has to be determined on an individual basis in terms of practices that will offer it. They won't offer it unless they have qualified people to do it. We think that ultimately it may not be necessary to have the breast imaging radiologist do it. A sonographer who is trained could possibly do it with the equipment we have now. But there is in development some automated equipment that will ensure that the entire breast tissue is shown on the sonogram. It's not ready yet, and that still needs to undergo a lot of testing before the FDA approves any of these new things, new technologies for screening use.
Okay. Let's take one phone call if we have time. We're going to switch guests here, but I'd like for you to have a chance. You need to call right now to speak with Dr. Mendelson, and then we'll move on to other guests as we look at this study that was just released yesterday. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, 227-2050 if you're joining us in Milwaukee. And if you'd like to send an email, that's talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. But you need to call in right away. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up the second hour of our program today, Dr. Dennis McCullough will be with us, author of My Mother, Your Mother, Embracing Slow Medicine, the Compassionate Approach to Caring for Your Aging Loved Ones. It's a wonderful book, and many people are doing that right now. So we will talk about that with him the second part of our program. And we, I think, have run out of time to take calls for Dr. Mendelson, so we will switch guests here, and I'm sure that your questions can be answered by other guests who are coming up in just a moment. I want to thank you so much, Dr. Mendelson, for your time and your expertise. You answered a lot of questions for us.
Well, thank you very much, Kathleen, for the opportunity, really, to explain some of our findings, and I hope that people will continue to ask questions about it and to follow up in the coming years for the additional data that will be published.
Yes, I'm sure they will. Dr. Ellen Mendelson, professor and director of the Section of Breast Imaging Radiology at Northwestern University. We're looking at a study that was released yesterday that suggests using ultrasound in addition to mammography helped doctors spot significantly more cancers, but it also resulted in four times as many false alarms. The American Cancer Society recommended that certain women at very high risk for breast cancer be screened with MRI in addition to mammography, and these results do not change, they say, that recommendation. Women who do have screening MRI do not need screening ultrasound. Women who are at increased risk who are currently undergoing mammographic screening and are not recommended for MRI, for whom it is not available or not tolerated, may wish to consider adding screening ultrasound. So we're talking about these recommendations this hour. Again, our phone number is 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050, 414-227-2050. The email address is talk@WPR.org, and we will have two more guests joining us this half hour of the program. Dr. Pamela Galloway, who is founder of the Breast Center of Central Wisconsin, and we will also be speaking with June Peters, who is a cancer coach at the cancer team at Bellin Health in Green Bay. Dr. Galloway, thank you very much for being with us. Oh, Dr. Galloway, can you hear me? Dr. Galloway? I don't know where Dr. Galloway is, so let's try June Peters. June Peters, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, great. We'll just try to reach Dr. Galloway again. I'm not sure where she is. What did you make of this study that came out yesterday? Does it change the way that you are operating at the Bellin Health in Green Bay?
No, it will not change how we operate. We would go in a high-risk younger woman with dense breasts. We would recommend a breast MRI.
Mm-hmm. And we were talking last hour about whether or not we have enough equipment for this to be done in various places in the country. Do you have the equipment? Do people in rural areas in Wisconsin have this equipment?
We have the equipment. I can't say in terms of a lot of the rural areas. I would expect that central Wisconsin would have that equipment where Dr. Galloway is at. But it is specialized equipment. It is expensive exam. It requires doctors and technicians who have specialty in reading and performing the exam, which is a drawback.
Right. And let us see if our guests are here, too. Can you hear me now? Hello? Now we'll just have to try and establish contact again. And a reminder that our number is 800-486-8655, 227-2050, if you're joining us in Milwaukee. Our Dr. Mendelson was saying that it may be that some of this could be done. It doesn't have to be done by people in a very special area, that we may be able to expand this knowledge to people who are doing other kinds of ultrasounds that we may not need as intensive a training in this area. What do you think about that?
Personally, I would disagree with that.
Really?
I worked 6 years in breast imaging and watching, and there's a tremendous amount of difference from one technologist to another in terms of experience and capability. The biggest thing is understanding a lot of the breast tissue looks very much the same. Ultrasound looks at that to pick out something that looks a little different than the rest. Looking at a cyst is a very easy something because you see a big black hole. Looking at solid things can be much more subtle. And if you're having somebody who's not tuned in to the subtlety of breast, you can have a false negative as well as have a false positive from people who are saying something looks concerning when it may not to another person.
Mm-hmm. June Peters?
Mm-hmm.
You're there with us now.
I've been talking. Dr.
Galloway. Dr. Galloway, are you with us now? Hello? No, Dr. Galloway is not there. We'll just keep trying in a little while. Can you give me some understanding, June? Everybody's trying to figure out why breast cancer is so darn prevalent in this country. Do we have any better understanding right now about why that's the case?
I'm not sure that we do. I know in Green Bay we have a higher prevalence not only than much of Wisconsin, but more than the national average. And I don't know that they have a good answer as to why we have the prevalence that we do. Certainly they are looking a lot right now at diet and the fact that our country has a lot of overweight people.
Hmm.
The adipose tissue, the fat in the body, tends to convert hormones into estrogen. So you're looking at creating more of a hormone balance, or I should say imbalance, for women, and that could be potentially a risk.
Mm-hmm. There have been some studies done recently about exercise that I was reading yesterday that shows that exercise, physical activity's effect on breast cancer varies, but that that all women are likely to reduce their risk of breast cancer with regular physical activity, and there are certain subgroups that benefit more than others.
Yes, I know the research is showing that women who already have breast cancer have a reduced risk of recurrence if they are exercising on a regular basis.
We will welcome phone calls for our guests in just one moment. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it's 414-227-2050, 414-227-2050. We're talking about a study released yesterday that suggests using ultrasound in addition to mammography help doctors spot more breast cancer, particularly smaller cancers, but also resulted in four times as many false alarms. Two more of your calls in a moment at 800-486-8655 in Milwaukee, 414-227-2050. Coming up the second hour of our program today, we will be speaking with Dr. Dennis McCullough. He is the author of My Mother, Your Mother, Embracing Slow Medicine, The Compassionate Approach to Caring for Your Aging Loved Ones. He has been in the trenches, family physician and geriatrician for 30 years, a graduate of Harvard College and Harvard Medical School, and has cared for his mother for some time and has a very interesting approach to people who are at the end stages of their lives. We're just trying to figure out. Hello, can you hear me? Hello? Hello. We're just trying to find Dr. Galloway and find out what line June is on. On this line we have?
June.
All right, June. We just can't find Dr. Galloway anywhere. I'm not sure. Dr. Galloway, are you there? Hello? No, she's not there.
I can tell you how we do use ultrasound with mammography at Bellin.
Okay, please.
If we have somebody who comes in feeling a lump or an area of concern, whether it's a thickening or something else, we will we do the mammogram, and we also follow that up with an ultrasound, so we have the combination of both exams. If we're having somebody who's coming in with no symptoms and we see something that looks a little irregular on a mammogram, we will follow it up with an ultrasound to see if we can pick something up by that mode. And if we see something we have some concerns about, and there's times when a woman can feel a lump that we cannot find on either mammogram or ultrasound, in those cases we may well go to the breast MRI. And we can see things on that we don't see on the other modes.
And are you concerned, June, about the number? The reports have talked about the number of false positives that have come from both of these tests. Is that of concern to you, and is there any way to lessen that?
It's a big concern. It's very difficult when you're looking and you're saying that you have only 20 to 30% of the people that you're biopsying come back with a positive for cancer. You know, it's nice for the women who have a negative, but you've also put them through a tremendous amount of stress and a procedure and concerns about the future, about why is something looking abnormal in that breast.
Mm-hmm. And so what can be done about that?
We try in terms of looking at things from multi-modes, so not just using one test over another if we don't have to. We try to use a combination of things to make sure that we are finding what needs to be found.
Mm-hmm. Let me just try Dr. Galloway one more time. Are you there, Dr. Galloway?
I am here.
Oh, you are. I don't know what the heck happened here. I'm sorry.
I can hear you, but
Okay, now we can hear everybody, finally.
I guess the telephones in Wausau aren't working too well today.
I don't know what the story was, but thank you. Thank you. Dr. Galloway
thank
is
you,
founder
Kathleen.
Of the Breast Center of Central Wisconsin. And tell me a little bit about what that center is, Dr. Galloway.
Well, it's a center dedicated to breast conditions and breast cancer. I'm a breast surgeon, and we do consultations. We try to get patients in to be evaluated within 24 hours. We emphasize education. We also do some genetic testing, including drawing blood to test for mutations of the BRCA1 and 2 gene. I do have breast ultrasound here that I can perform, as well as doing certain procedures under ultrasound guidance, such as draining cysts or doing breast biopsies.
Mm-hmm. And what were your general thoughts, Dr. Galloway, about the study that came out yesterday?
Well, it was very interesting, but as some concern has already been expressed, there was a very high false positive rate. And for a woman to go through a biopsy unnecessarily is very anxiety-provoking, and it is also very costly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we're still looking for the ideal screening method. It will be very interesting to get their additional data to find out what their long-term results are going to be.
Mm-hmm. And Pamela, what does a cancer coach do?
The cancer coach works along with education of the patient and care coordination in trying to assist the patient to go through the process as easily as possible in dealing with their issues, avoiding additional tests or anything unnecessary work, and helping them to understand the questions that they have beyond what they might have talked to the doctor about.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to some phone calls for both of you, starting with Carol from Portage. Hi, Carol. Carol, are you there? Well, you'll have to call us back because we couldn't hear you. Carol from Kenosha, hi.
Hi. As a woman of 70 years old who has, in the past, I do have the breast thickening, and I have had to have follow-up mammograms and 2 years ago ultrasound. But now this new digital mammography center is at the health center at Aurora Hospital in Kenosha. I was very impressed with that. Is that really much better and more defined? And what are our concerns with that?
Dr. Galloway, what is that?
Well, the digital mammography involves performing a mammogram such that the image is projected on a monitor rather than on film. And the biggest benefit that's been found for digital mammography is that is beneficial for women with so-called dense breasts, meaning that the breast tissue itself may hide an abnormality. It's possible it may also be better for younger women. Another advantage of the digital mammography is that you can apply something called the computer-aided detection, where a computer may detect an abnormality that isn't seen by the radiologist. So there is some suggestion that the digital mammography may be more helpful in certain situations.
Well, to me, it was so much more clear than the film. I was amazed because she could turn the screen around right at the time that it was happening and point out things to me, the tiny dots of calcification, which at the time the operator said that were not of a concern. And so I was very impressed with it. And I just hope that that is going to be a great advantage for many women.
Thanks, Carol, for your call.
Thank you.
Nancy from Milwaukee. Hi.
Good morning. I have often read that the ingestion of too much food in one's diet possibly can promote breast cancer. But I'm confused because if after a certain age breast tissue is comprised primarily of fatty tissue anyway, what does eating fat How does eating more fat promote breast cancer?
Well, the connection there is really between obesity and an increased risk of getting breast cancer, because fatty tissue actually generates estrogen, and some breast cancers feed off of estrogen. So it isn't so much that the breast itself is made up of fat, it's whether or not the individual is overweight. So one of the best risk reduction strategies for breast cancer is to maintain a normal weight, which may also involve eating a low-fat diet.
Hmm. Thank you.
Dr. Mendelsohn was talking about getting older being a risk factor. How old are we talking here? When do your risks become much greater just because of your age?
Well, it increases as one ages, but the risk really escalates after the age of 50.
Mm-hmm. And why is it?
Simply because your body, the older one is, the body has been exposed to estrogen for a longer period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, we don't know exactly why age increases the risk of breast cancer, but it definitely does increase after the age of 50.
Mm-hmm. And June, does everybody agree on a standard list of recommendations of when mammography should take place and how often?
The standard agreement for an average woman would be to have a baseline mammogram at age no later than age 40, every 1 to 2 years from 40 to 50, and every year thereafter. And then it gets a little cloudy as you get older because there's various debate on at what age should you stop having mammograms. And the philosophy I'm seeing now is that you can keep going as long as you have good quality of life. There's no reason to stop just because you're 80 or 85 years old.
We go to Cindy next from Green Bay. Hi, Cindy.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm the center manager at the Northeast Wisconsin MRI Center in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Oh.
And I wanted to let your listeners know that we're currently doing a promotion for breast MRI. We are sending $100 for every breast MRI that we do to the Deanna Farr of Hope Foundation. And we're doing that through the end of the year. And we're hoping that this will encourage women to talk to their doctors about whether they are at increased risk and whether an MRI is appropriate for them. And then we also, in the very near future, will be able to do breast MRI on our open scanner. So people who are claustrophobic will not have to have an MRI in the regular tube machine.
Mm-hmm.
And we have actually a number of people waiting for that capability, and we plan to be able to do that within the next 60 days or so.
Mm. Dr. Galloway, you want to respond?
Well, that sounds very exciting. I'm curious, do you have the capability of doing MRI-guided biopsy?
Yes, we do. We're an independent center, so we are off-site of the hospital campus, but yes, we can do that.
Well, it sounds like a great opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for your call. Is all of this rather expensive? We were talking earlier about how expensive it is to do this. Are we willing to spare resources to get this done?
Well, I think it has to be done very carefully. And as you know, the American Cancer Society is only recommending breast MRI under very certain circumstances. So I don't think that it should be widely or indiscriminately applied, not only because MRI also has a high false positive rate, but also because of the cost.
Right. What makes it so expensive?
I'm not a radiologist, but I think it's the technology, the equipment itself. It is quite time-consuming in terms of radiologist's time as well as a technician's time. So I think just because it's a new technology, the equipment, and the time involved.
Mm-hmm.
It does also require an IV with contrast media to be injected during the exam, which is not done during a mammogram or ultrasound.
I see. Let's go to Carol from Portage. Hi, Carol.
Hello.
Hello.
I have a couple comments. Thank you for taking my call. One is we all hear about the history of cancer, the history, and people should be aware, as in my case, which I am the history in my family. So it can kind of come out of nowhere as well.
Actually, it usually does come out of nowhere. Most women who are diagnosed with breast cancer do not have a family history.
Oh, thank you for saying that.
Hmm.
The other thing that very seldom is heard is that men get breast cancer as well. And I think with men it's often talked about with their doctors as a fatty growth or it will go away or whatever, but men do get breast cancer as well.
That's right. Men do get breast cancer. It's very unusual. But when a man in the family is diagnosed with breast cancer, it is a red flag, so to speak, for a possible mutation in the BRCA1 or 2 gene. And that mutation should be investigated.
But thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean? I'm not sure what that meant, what you were just saying, Dr. Galloway.
When a man in the family is diagnosed with breast cancer, it is a sign that there may be a mutation in the family of a gene called BRCA1 or 2.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a blood test available to detect that mutation. And if there is a male in the family diagnosed with breast cancer, that's something that should be investigated.
Mm-hmm. And then the treatment would be the same, or are there different kinds of treatments?
Usually male breast cancer is highly treatable, and it is treated usually with a mastectomy.
Jeannie is next from Green Bay. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
40 years ago, I had a breast biopsy for bleeding in the breast, and it was determined a plasma cell tumor. Had no problem since, except about 6 or 8 months ago, I did have a problem with bleeding. I had scheduled an MRI. It stopped bleeding. The girl said you do not have to come in for a test. Also, the plasma cell tumor, people have said when I had a schedule, when I had a physical, they had never heard of such a thing.
Well, it would be very rare. I don't think I've ever seen one myself in my career.
Okay. Also, the schizophrenia I have studied that it can be location, and you said something about Green Bay having a lot of breast cancer. Could it be the location we're in? And also, does stress cause a lot of cancer? I think it does.
Well, I don't know of any connection between stress and breast cancer.
Well, I think there is a connection. Right now I have bladder cancer.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a big connection.
I don't know of any studies that have shown a connection.
Okay, but I wonder about that. I've had a lot of stress in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder that if that's part of it.
Well, there are studies, I don't know specifically about breast cancer, but show the effect of stress on the body just kind of getting out of whack, aren't there?
Mm-hmm.
You can, you know, not sleep, and then your immune system isn't very strong, and all of that. Stress is something that we need to keep under control.
Definitely. It is a stressful world.
It is. It is, isn't it? Very stressful. Jean from Barron County. Hi, Jean.
Hi. I would like the residents of Barron County to know about Pink Ribbon Advocacy, which it provides financial assistance to Barron County residents to help cover some of the uninsured expenses associated with receiving breast cancer diagnosis and treatment. We provide money for mammograms, no questions asked. We encourage women to get mammograms, and we also have a breast cancer support group that meets on the second Tuesday of every month. Dinner is provided, and a lot of sharing goes on. If anybody in Barron County is interested in learning more about it, please, they could call 537-1400, leave a message, and we'll get back to you. That number again is 537-1400, and we encourage self-examination and mammograms.
Yeah, thanks for the call. There are a phenomenal number of support groups, aren't there, for women with breast cancer, and just so much more information about what people need to do in order to be examined and found free of cancer or to find early cancer. It certainly is out there, isn't it, Dr. Galloway?
Yes, there are many excellent websites that one can go to learn about breast cancer. And one thing women could do would be to go to my website, and I have listed there, I think, the best links to websites about breast cancer. And my website is www.breastcentercw.com. And from there, they can go to these specific links, and also they can find the names of some support groups in the Wausau area.
All right, that's breastcancer.cw.
No, it's Breast Center.
Oh, Breast Center.
CW.
CW.
Dot com.
CW.com. Breastcentercw.com.
Right, and from there they can go to the best, I've selected the best links to read about breast cancer.
Okay, great. Thank you both so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate your time. Sorry we had a hard time linking up with you, but we are That's happy okay. we found you, Dr. Galloway.
Thank you, Kathleen. Yeah,
thank you. Thanks, June.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Our guest this half hour, Dr. Pamela Galloway, who is founder of the Breast Center of Central Wisconsin. June Peters, who's a cancer coach for the cancer team at Bellin Health in Green Bay. And we thank our earlier guest, the first half hour, Dr. Ellen Mendelson, who's a professor and director of the Section of Breast Imaging Radiology at Northwestern University. And again, that link, if you'd like to go to it, is breastcentercw.com, breastcentercw.com. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing this hour, and thanks to John Treader for on-air production here in our studios in Milwaukee. We have a health theme going on today, and we'll be talking about slow medicine, a different concept in medicine when it comes to the elderly. And I know that many of you are dealing with that, and we'll be happy to have our guest who offers valuable advice and has created a whole new form of medicine. First, though, we'll have the latest news coming up in a minute.